Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, 3-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Thanks for waiting through all the commercial ads and breaks and stuff that you get. Still here. KM to AM on The Fan in New York on a Friday night, January 24th. It's a football Friday. You know, I opened up talking about Aaron Glenn and how important it is for him to hire a good staff and how him and Ben Johnson are going to be compared forever. And Ben Johnson, he's on it. He's brought in Antoine Randall L. He's brought in Al Harris. I got to look up who the other hires he's made. He's working. 888-808-1019. We had Warren Moon on, talked all about the quarterbacks in the NFL, talked about these games coming up this weekend between the Commanders, Eagles, Bills, and Chiefs, talked about the style of play, the officiating, everything. I enjoyed that interview. I think I enjoyed it the most. Hand up. That was fun. So let's get back to you, though. Again, dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to chime in, if you'd like to ask any questions, bring a topic to the airwaves. You know, I just took the call from Dom talking about Pete Alonso. I know. Pete Alonso is going to be the talk of Amazing Day at Citi Field tomorrow. Make sure you guys go out there to catch Joe Beningo and Sal Licata. They'll be live, and you'll be able to hear that on The Fan. And then if you go to the K Corner, I believe that's the name of the place, that they'll be doing a live Rico Bronya podcast with Evan Roberts and Pete Hoffman. And I heard that David Wright is going to join the podcast. So that's great for the Mets fans going out to Citi Field tomorrow. Let's get back to the phones at 888-808-1019. Avi out on Long Island, you're on The Fan.
Yeah, Keith, how you doing, man? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, question for you. Who are the two black quarterbacks that are in the draft this year?
I mean, there's a bunch, but the two at the top are Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
Keith, the reason why I asked you that question, okay, is I turned on the radio after I got out of work today, and the whole time that I'm listening to you talk to Warren Moon, Warren Moon spoke beautifully. You know, he really spoke great. Everything out of your mouth, and I love you, buddy, but, like, everything out of your mouth was about black, white. I don't get it. Why does it matter? Why does it matter if the quarterback is black or white? Why is everything like a color issue?
Ooh, Avi, I like this type of party. I think you got triggered. I think you heard it that way. I don't think I'm that way at all.
No, I didn't. You even said the evolution of the black quarterback.
Like, yeah, it's a thing.
I don't understand. Why?
And I said it's a narrative. It should be talked about in a positive light. We should talk about the progress that's been made, how far we've come. It's a reality. Because back when Warren Moon played some 50 years ago,
right,
he couldn't just come into the NFL and be at the top of the draft. Back when Warren Moon was coming in with his talent, he had to go another route because they wouldn't even give him the opportunity. I like this kind of party. What else you got, Avi?
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. And Warren Moon, I watched Warren Moon play when I was younger, and he was an excellent quarterback. I remember one game I remember watching, I think it was against Buffalo, And I think it was one of the greatest comebacks of all time.
He's like one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He'd have all the records. He'd have a better resume in the NFL if he didn't have to go to Canada. If he was actually allowed to come into the league and be drafted and be treated equally. But, you know, he blazed a trail and had to fight for that.
Wow, okay. I wasn't aware of that at all.
I'm here to educate. I'm here to educate people as well. 888-808-1019. I'm the right one. You got the right one. If that's how you want to listen to a great interview with someone who gave Warren Moon his flowers, someone who told you I was doing book reports as a child reading about Warren Moon, who lost his father as a kid, right? Who had to become a man young, who had to just jump over every hurdle and obstacle thrown in front of him. And it inspired me as a young black man. It inspired me as a young black quarterback who was getting interest from colleges, and they were saying, we'll offer you as an athlete. We'll offer you as a safety. And I'm like, no, I'm not a defensive player. I'm not defensive-minded. I play quarterback. And I want to go to college and play quarterback. I think I'm good enough. Made all-conference. Made the Governor's Bowl, New York versus New Jersey all-star team. Got over 10 scholarships, won the state championship. I think I can go to college and play quarterback. I think I'm smart enough to play the position. So, like, if you listened to that conversation and you heard black, white, that wasn't it. That wasn't it at all. But I understand how easily triggered people are. I've been doing this a long time. I grew up in a predominantly white town, right? My mom equipped me with the things that I needed early, very early, to navigate through my situation. The odds were always against me. They're still against me. So you got the right one if you think you're going to call the fan and try and race bait me. I'm smarter than you. Look it up. You're talking about watching Warren Moon play, and you didn't even know what he had to go through to get there. 888-808-1019. Bobby's in Belmore, back on the fan.
Well, I love it, because in 1987... Doug Williams was asked, how does it feel to be a black quarterback? And that guy obviously know that just speaks for itself. There's nothing more to say after that at the media, when what a reporter asked him. And now with three quarters of the black quarterbacks are black, it should be four. If Andrew drops that ball, I think the Ravens even now getting the ball back, all the momentum and that Buffalo coach being all conservative in the second half, which you better not do against Kansas City. I think the Ravens would have won that game. But anyway, about Aaron Glenn, it's funny. I think I like it because he discovered the lows of the lows with Colt Tight and then went to learn from Parcells. So he learned how not to do it and how to do it. So I think that's a very good experience. And also a couple other things with the Kansas City referees. I don't know if you heard about this, but I think the NFL is hearing everything what the media was saying, because the referees for this game, Mahomes' record is 6-6. And they called only
Cleet
like two
Bakeman,
personal.
Or Cleet Blakeman. Yeah, somebody was alerting that to me earlier. My guys out in Buffalo have a whole report on it. I'm going to get to it at some point. Excuse me. But, yeah, they're already thinking the odds are in their favor with them getting the calls, and I think that's going to be the way as well.
Yeah, and Buffalo better be up by two scores in that game, because – you know, like they had to do in the regular season, and Allen had that great run to put up by two scores at the end of the game. I think that's what they're going to have to do to win this game, because he put the ball in Mahomes' hand. And I won't just worry about McDermott a little bit, his past playoff history. And he got all conservative in that, like I said, in that Raven game. It only scored 6 points in the second half. They better not do that against the Chiefs. They're not going to win. It's a different animal you're playing. And the last thing about the Giants, I think I mentioned this before, I'm just worried about Saunders. You know, in these big games, he seems to fold. I mean, in that bowl game against BYU, he looked horrible. And I just worried about that. You know, I understand Deion is there and you know, to give him support and all that. But I just think, you know, I know Mahomes didn't have exactly a great college career. And, you know, Peyton Manning couldn't win a big game either, you know, in college. But, you know, I'm just worried about that. He's got blown out. He looked totally gone in that game.
Yeah,
that was BYU.
I follow him and I listen to his podcast. I watched that game. I was trying to watch that game on my phone. I was out to dinner with my wife. Early in that game, he tried to take off up the middle to get a first down. And he got his head rocked a little bit. He got his bell rung. So he
worries about me, too. He gets hurt. He's kind of smallish and... I don't know. We'll see what happens, but the Ward, I'm a little worried about. I mean, the guy you know, quits at halftime after his teammates get him to where he is. And because he just broke, he wanted to break already, he quits on his team at halftime. He shouldn't even play it at all.
Yeah, it's not a good look, but Mario Cristobal was down for it. The head coach obviously signed off on it. It was part of the plan. Thanks for the call, Bobby. You unloaded so much that I wanted to respond to now. I've kind of forgotten. I know, you know, Aaron Glenn and, you know, talking about the games and the Chiefs and the officiating. It's a lot to unpack and try and respond to. I give you guys, you know, runway, but then, like, it's too many things for me to hit back on. Shedeur Sanders got his bell rung in that game. I won't say that in big games he folds. He showed up in that Baylor game. He showed up in some other games. And college is not the NFL. It's about drafting the quarterback, developing him, putting him in the right situation. The Giants need a quarterback. What are you talking about? Like, for people that, like, don't think Shedeur Sanders is worth the draft pick or won't be able to play, like, you watch Drew Lock play. You watch Tommy DeVito play. You're watching Mike Glenn and Jake Fromm, like, If that kid is available, you draft that kid. He's Deion Sanders' son. They're going to make sure he's ready to go. I will actually retweet the package of information. Shout out to my guy, Jeff Brady, who I played football with at Monmouth. He does a lot of data and different things. He's a Bills fan, and they have a podcast called Do Champions. His guy, Matt, he said, yo, check out the ref report for a bit more in-depth analysis on Cleet Blakeman and the crew, and I think these Buffalo Bills fans are already kind of expecting the nonsense, right? And, of course, Patrick Mahomes comes out there to say, you know, maybe I shouldn't have flopped, but, like, we're not getting any advantages. We know you're getting a little bit. You're Patrick Mahomes. You're the two-time reigning champs. You're the Chiefs, and we kind of expect it. And I think I saw Nick Costos say something, or was it Nick Costos? Maybe it was another one of the betting people, Nick, if you didn't say it. But they're like, if you're expecting the Chiefs to get the benefit of the call, then why would you bet against them? I can't put any money on the Bills. I'd love to see the Bills get it done, but I just think Andy Reid is prepared. I think that they play mistake-free. I mean, Josh Allen had a play last week where he was wrapped up thinking about laddering the ball, like throwing the ball back. Like, you can't do any of that. I just think it's going to be tough for them to win a close game in Arrowhead. This is a team that this is what they do. This is their time of year. They can smell it. They're close. They're one win away. Like, all year, they found a way to win. Like, this would be the most ridiculous year for their championship DVD. If you thought last year was crazy when we were counting them out, like, this year when they go through the missed field goals and the, you know, all the ways that they had to win games to, you know, three-peat potentially, like, I just can't bet against the Kansas City Chiefs. I know better than that. 888-808-1019. Let's go to my guy, Mario, out in Long Beach on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Keith? Great show.
I'm good. Thanks for checking back in with us.
Yeah, listen, I loved the interview with Warren Moon. I loved it.
Yeah, I got to give kudos again to Connor Gangreen, my producer, when we're, you know, talking about what to do tonight. I said it's a football Friday. I've got a lot of football takes and stuff. I know we're going to talk about Aaron Glenn. I know we're going to talk about Pete Alonso. But get me one good football guy that I can kind of rap with. And he got Warren Moon, and I wasn't expecting that.
Wow.
But I'm a fan.
And you know what? My wife is African-American, and I know the whole history of it. And I love the way that you educated that guy. Because that guy, and you know, the word ignorant doesn't mean stupid. The word ignorant means he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand.
Like I said, I like that. I like this kind of party. You got the right one. I could hear it in his voice. It just sounded so dumb.
You know how many years that Warren Moon played in the Canadian League?
Too many.
Six, and he still made the NFL Hall of Fame. He might have been the greatest. He could have been maybe up there with
Brett. Said he'd have all the records if he would have been able to just come in, but he couldn't. And even before that, and look it up. Look at his Wikipedia. In his early life, he had to navigate racism. In his life, he dealt with the death of a parent. Like, come on, yo.
That Amazon thing you said that was on about the black quarterback.
The evolution I still haven't gotten to it, Mario, but I remember us talking about that documentary, The Evolution of the Black Quarterback. They actually invited me to the screening, which I believe was in New York somewhere, but I went to Yankee Stadium. I was trying to see the Yankees clinch. Anyway.
Yeah, but listen, so what happened with that was Herm Edwards came out of college the same year as Warren Moon. I didn't realize that. And he didn't want to go to Canada, so he played defensive back because they allowed the black guy to be
like
the defensive back.
Like I just said, I remember being on the phone in high school before we were giving out cell phones. I was talking to a coach from the University of Iowa. And after they reviewed my film, he's like, we'd like to offer you as a safety. And I'm like, I'm good. I know I'm going to get offers as a quarterback. I don't want to play safety. I'm not coming to – first of all, I'm not going to Iowa anyway. You know, it's it was an actual thing. The black quarterback was like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think it's pretty simple. It's not a race-baiting thing, right? This guy Avi tried to make it seem like, oh, every word out of your mouth was black, white. I'm like, did I say white? I don't think so. I'm talking to – one of the greatest quarterbacks who blazed a trail for black quarterbacks. And now we're going into championship weekend where you're going to watch Jalen Hurts. You're going to watch Jaden Daniels. You're going to watch Patrick Mahomes. You might have been seeing Lamar Jackson. And when you get to the draft, at the top of the draft, right, and he asked me that, who are the black quarterbacks in the draft? I'm like, there's a few. I didn't mention, you know, Jalen Milroe. But at the top of the draft, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are going to be taken in the top three picks.
Yeah.
That's progress. Well, Warren Moon couldn't be drafted.
Unless he wanted to play running back or whatever, or another position, and he didn't want to do that.
There you
know,
go.
Right?
Yeah, simple as that.
Did you know Herm Edwards came out and he didn't be, I think it was, he was an, I think he was an all pro at safety too. He
might have been great. I didn't know that. I know Tony Dungy, Tony Dungy had his struggles. I mean, I literally put my life into this. Like I said, like as a kid, I'm reading about Warren Moon. I'm reading about Doug Williams. I'm doing reports in front of the classroom talking about black quarterbacks, and I am one. Right? I'm in the fifth grade. I'm in the sixth grade. Like.
And it's funny, when you were saying that, I was seeing the same thing. Because sometimes you can go on YouTube and you can see things that somebody said about somebody years ago. And I was looking about 8 years ago what they were saying about Lamar Jackson. And it was a lot of, like, prominent announcers. I don't remember who it was. And
not bad
saying,
for a running back.
He should play safety. He should play this. He should play that. What are you saying now? He's on his third MVP.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. He dropped all the way to the bottom of the draft. And I just referenced that earlier tonight, saying that, hey, if Jackson Dart is slipping like that, the Giants need to trade from the second round, pick 34, up back into the draft and go get him. Or even if it is Jalen Milroe and Brian Daboll says, hey, I can work with him, right? I don't like Jalen Milroe's game, black, white, green, blue, or whatever, because I'm talking about his mechanics. What I've seen from his throwing motion and his footwork, he's a project in the NFL. But maybe he's a project like Lamar Jackson was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe he'll change. You know, look at Jaden Daniels. He's another runner. Are you concerned? I'll let you go. Are you concerned with Jaden Daniels in terms of how slightly built he is? Do you think he's going to be able to last with the way he runs and all that stuff?
No.
He's not going to get hurt?
Because, I mean, he is slim and slender. He has the rib issue, right? He got hit in the ribs. But, like, you know, when you say he's a runner, he can run. But he's cerebral. He's reading that defense. He knows where to go with the ball. I've been talking all week about him studying in virtual reality. He can pick up the blitz. His pre-snap read, he knows where he's going with the ball. He can get the ball to his receivers. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be fine. Maybe he needs to put on a couple pounds, but he's not taking hits. Sam Darnold's taking more hits than Jaden Daniels.
Right. And let's not forget, Jaden Daniels is 24. Remember, Lamar came in the league at 20 or 21.
Right.
Lamar already had an MVP before Jaden Daniels even came into the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he had a lot of reps in college that I think helped him, too, you know, in terms of really developing his passing skills.
Of course. Thanks for the call, Mary. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. If you've been watching the NFL, I've been watching the NFL for 30 years. If you've been watching the NFL for 30 years, the things that we're talking about tonight are not new, but if you have a little bit of racism in you, if you have a little bit of a trigger in you because you don't want to hear somebody call it straight like I'll call it straight, then I understand you being irritated and also being uneducated on the subject, but that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. We had Warren Moon on tonight. I can share my own experience. I've been doing this a long time. I've been watching the NFL for 30 years. Some of you maybe twice as long. You understand what I'm talking about and what we're talking about. That there's this many starting black quarterbacks in the National Football League. There was a time where they said, these black guys aren't smart enough to play the position. You just heard Warren Moon, one of the greatest quarterbacks, black, white, or whatever, all time, tell you, well, yeah, now when you have these defensive ends running 4-3, like, you know, Jared Verse running down Saquon last week, he hit 21.6 miles per hour. That wasn't the case 30 years ago. There were no linemen running like that. Now you need a quarterback that, you know, can evade the rush, that can scramble a little bit, that can run a little bit. Look at the MVP, Lamar Jackson. Look at Jaden Daniels, the rookie of the year. The evolution of the black quarterback, the game has changed. I wish I was a little bit better at playing quarterback. Maybe I'd be, you know, my last year in the NFL. But instead, I'm here with you. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Got a full rack of calls. We got to get through these calls quicker. We're halfway through another five-hour KM to AM on the Fan in New York. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, talking football, talking sports. It's a Football Friday. As we get ready for the championship round, the Commanders versus the Eagles, the Bills versus the Chiefs. And of course, if you want to talk about the Yankees or the Mets, we do that all year round. If you want to talk about the Giants and Jets, it'd be my pleasure. 888-808-1019. Back to the phone we go. Steve in Rockland, you got it. You're on.
Oh, Keith, man. That guy, talk about being triggered. You know, I did not believe when he said that he saw Warren Moon playing, he didn't know. That's impossible. I said, right there, this guy does have an agenda, and he does have something going on.
Yeah, he backed right? off pretty quickly, right? He reversed course a little bit.
But my point, what I'm saying is, when he said that, it was simply not believable to anyone who lived through that, who remembers that. And not only that, but there were some people who were clever enough, if they knew how to mess around with the rabbit ears on the UHF and the VHF, to watch some Canadian football when it was, you know, before there was any cable TV.
Yeah, when he was balling, winning championships, like he talked about, back to back to back to back, yeah.
And we always wondered, because you know what? It's the novelty of the different rules, you know, that and the field and everything. It was something that, you know, just was caught our fancy many years ago. Anyway,
sure. It looked a lot different than the game we were used to. You know, it wasn't 53 sure. and a third. Wasn't the same size football, same look of a football.
I said, how come this guy's not? And how come this guy's not? And then, you know, and reality was it. Not only that, but you did invoke Doug Williams' name. And if you're interested, because I'm sure it's somewhere online, he was interviewed today on NPR and was an outstanding interview. It's not very long, but
I'm glad he's getting his flowers now with the Commanders. I saw the Commanders team all wearing, you know, his jersey and throwback merch and welcoming him in. He's been a big part of this year with the Commanders. And
exactly. And they talked about that. They talked about how he's, you know, been a resource for Jaden Daniels, who's just, that guy can throw darts. The only thing that, my thing is, not that he runs, please, if they let them pay me, I'll teach him how to slide. That's what he needs to learn, like, how to do more than anything.
Yeah, he's not a baseball sliding guy. I remember, you know, like, that's something like Russell Wilson played baseball so he could do. I remember Mike Vick talking about how when he was in Atlanta, Terry Pendleton was teaching him how to slide. Jaden Daniels, like, he'll take a little, like I said, he doesn't take hits. He doesn't take hits so much in the pocket, but a little bit on the sideline. He, you know, he was off his feet a little bit in the last game. Like, he's got to be careful with how he kind of bops around and gets an extra yard and will sneak a yard and then try and step out.
That's the thing. It's not so much that he shouldn't run. Someone needs to get in his head. And when he gets that down, because that guy's a dart thrower. I mean, he throws it into the window. It's just, and not only that, but for Giant fans like me, that we're got to stare down the Eagles, these Eagles, and these Redskins for the next however many years. All right,
but
maybe
a while.
It's good. Yeah. Maybe the Giants will finally get it together, because the thing about the Giants, when I'm watching Saquon, shame on them for 6 years that they could not figure out an offensive line to do what to
Another generational talent touched by the hand of God, Saquon Barkley, no matter what, they should have done more to utilize his talents. He still got it, clearly.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And you know what? I am rooting for him. I have nothing. I mean, I am rooting for him. And I just...
You're rooting for him because he's a good guy. You know, I think ultimately Giants fans are, if they're mad, are mad at the organization. You're not mad at Saquon for taking care of his family and getting the money that he deserves.
That's right.
Look at how he's playing. He should be paid. He should be a highest paid player in the league.
I mean, it was just. I was saying to people whenever I said, "This guy's going to a team with a real offensive line
stacked." Yeah,
I said it's going to be hell to pay for the rest of the league, and I was right. And I was right.
And
what
the rest
know?
Of the league for is mad at the Giants for letting that happen. Steve, thanks for the call. I just want to clear the air because, you know, like Steve started his call talking about the caller Avi from Long Island. And Avi, if you're still listening, like, it's okay, bro. I understand. But like what I was saying when you called is you got the right one. I'm prepared for those conversations. I've been having those uncomfortable conversations my entire life. But one, you got the wrong idea about me if you ever think I'm race baiting or if you think I have a racist bone in my body. I think anybody listening to this show, which I do have friends and family listening to this show and texting, and, you know, they know who I am as a human being, and they also know my experience, right? I'm not racist at all. I said that I grew up in a predominantly white area, neighborhood, schools. All I can do is lean on my own experience. I've experienced a ton of racism in my life. All I can do is talk to someone like Warren Moon, who I know a little bit about their life story and relate to him. You know, him having to go to a different school for a better education, things like that. That's all it was. And when you have Warren Moon on, I think you'd be remiss to not ask him about the state of the black quarterback in the NFL. And if you listened to the interview, right, he gave a nod to Josh Allen, who is a white quarterback, but is very athletic, strong, mobile, a freak of nature, right? It's not black versus white. It's a style of play. It's the way that the league has evolved. And it should be celebrated that we have actually stopped with that nonsense that stopped Warren Moon from starting his career as a young guy in the NFL. He had to take a different route because it was just like a roadblock where it was, you're black, you can't play quarterback in the NFL. So that's all we were talking about. I know people get easily offended. I know people get easily triggered, but I don't get easily offended. I don't get easily triggered, especially when it comes to race matters, because I've been dealing with it my whole life. And like what I said, my mom armed me young. My mom taught me very young. You need to go to school. You need to get an education. You need to read, write, and be able to speak well. She didn't have an education. She struggled in life, did not want me to struggle. I knew at 12, she told me at 12, I cannot pay for you to go to school. At 12, I started my roadmap, because at 12, I was peewee quarterback. Had 30 touchdowns. And some of the people in town and coaches said to me, "Hey, Keith, you're pretty good. If you keep this up, you might be able to play college football." And back then, I didn't realize on Saturdays what I was watching that those kids went to school and any of that. So, and the rest is history, man. But just understand that, like, I had a ton of challenges thrown in front of me as a young black man in America. And the way that I made it, right, I had to be able to navigate in a certain type of way. There's no racism in my body, but there's a ton of racism put in front of me and still put in front of me. And I accept it. I accept the challenge. And I face it daily and weekly and monthly and yearly. And I hope to inspire anyone listening that has to go through that as well. It's that simple. 888-808-1019. We can have sports conversations. We can have life conversations. We can have real conversations. This is real radio. This breaks through, right? You know, I know sometimes during the day you listen to WFAN, it's fun and games and it's a ventriloquist and it's artificial intelligence, and that's cool too. But I don't have that. I'm a solo host. What I do is pour my heart, soul, and real life into this. My opinions, my thoughts, my takes. I do storytelling. I try to have good interviews, and I try to give you guys time because I care about you. When you listen to my show, you wait on hold. I try to give you time to express your thoughts and opinions, and I think that makes KM to AM, this five-hour show, what it is. So thank you for that. Let's get back to that. I just wanted to clear the air on that. If anybody's feeling some type of way, like, just, you know, don't get it twisted, bro. Like, I love everybody. I'm fair to everybody. I don't have any type of racist bone in my body. If you know me in real life, you obviously would laugh at that thought. But I understand Avi in Long Island got triggered and thought he was going to call the fan and box me in or something, and he failed at that. Andrew's out in Portland, Oregon on the fan in New York. What's up, Andrew? Drew, come on, man. I know that's a lot to follow, but yeah, you have a call that says Warren Moon, MLB Hall of Fame voting. Let's go to Tony up in Harlem on the fan. Let's see if Tony's ready.
Hello.
Hello, Tony.
I'm ready. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Are you switching from speaker to regular?
I turned the speaker off. This is my first time calling, so I might be kind of... You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, I'm calling to call about Charlie Ward, because they did the same thing to him coming out of college. He won the Heisman. He didn't give a draft pick.
Yes, sir. And obviously, New York Knicks fans know Charlie Ward.
Yes, sir. I'm from Monmouth County, too. I hear you talking, man. I'm from Monmouth County, too.
What town? What part of Monmouth County?
I'm a Husky.
Yes, sir. Shout out to the Huskies. I've been over there. I know all about it.
I didn't see the Mets win championships and everything.
We're losing you, Tony. Tony, thanks for the call. Just didn't have a clear signal, a clear line coming in. 888-808-1019. Just trying to get back to some conversation. Let's see if Andrew is ready now. Drew, you there?
Hey, man, I'm sorry about that. I think we just lost service for a second. My apologies.
I mean, you're all the way
in Happy Friday.
Portland, Oregon. I know you're a consistent listener to the show, and we interact on Twitter. Happy Friday. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I tell you what, man, I definitely love to call in and talk to you about the Yankees and football and sports. But, you know, the kind of conversation you're having tonight, you do a very good job articulating sort of this conversation. You know, it's obviously not necessarily sports related, but, you know, you do a good job of talking about this stuff without being, you know, negative or you know, without it being a big deal. You know, I just want to say I love hearing you talk about this kind of stuff. You know, because before I was going to talk to you about, you know, CeCe in the Hall of Fame, I think it was really cool that you had Warren Moon on. You know, you have a lot of guys talking about Warren Moon. I don't know if you remember, you know, I'm actually from Canada, and my dad's side of the family, is from Canada. You know, my dad used to talk about Warren Moon all the time. You know, I'm not just saying this right now. My dad used to talk about Warren Moon. He won all those cups, all the great cups in Edmonton. You know, I think he had two or three MVPs. You know, my dad used to say that Warren Moon was a better passer than Terry Bradshaw, better passer than Roger Staubach. You know, he was such a great quarterback.
Yeah, he was definitely better than some of his white counterparts, but, you know, life ain't fair, man. And, you know, he had to take an alternate route. And you know, I love that he's still out here talking football, willing to do an interview with little old me on the fan and share his story and his insight. And I think this has been an all-time show already tonight. I'm not done.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I like when you were saying, you know, here we go. I'm the man for the job. I like having those talks, too.
Yeah, but, you got the right one.
You know, yeah, that's good, man. You know, but real quick, you know, you've been talking mostly football tonight. You know, I'm sure you've been talking plenty about CeCe and the Hall of Fame stuff. Big Ichiro fan. You know, I had Ichiro posters and stuff on my wall being out here in the Northwest. I got to tell you, though, first of all, let me just start by saying, personally, I think Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer.
Of course he is.
I think he's one of the greatest. Yeah. I think he's one of the greatest center fielders, especially of his time, 400 homers. So I think
Scott Rowland in the Hall of Fame last year or 2 years ago. Joe Mauer, the Hall of Fame has become a joke. Ichiro should have been unanimous.
100%. You know, and I hear some of these guys on ESPN talking. You know, I just don't like this narrative that you're starting to hear that, oh, if he was a Yankee, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Did you see Chipper Jones' tweet?
Yeah, and then Jonathan Papelbon. But, you know, it's not just knuckleheads like me who are talking on Twitter. It's former players, you know?
Yeah, Chipper Jones started that. And, of course, you know, put it on the Yankees. Thanks for the call, Drew. Appreciate you always, bro. Put it on the Yankees. But, like, no, put it on the Baseball Writers of America and the process of getting into the Hall of Fame. We got to take another break that quickly. Hey, if you're on hold, I promise I'm going to get to you. We'll move on from the nonsense. But hey, I'm with the nonsense. I'm with all the smoke. If you want to bring that my way, Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. New York City, you're now rocking with the best. I got to make sure to say that at least once every night. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Okay, 888-808-1019. Hit the phone one time. Got a few people on the line. Breaking news, okay? Unfortunately, breaking news in the NFL as these head coaching spots are starting to disappear. There's only one team left, I believe, without a head coach. That would be the New Orleans Saints. The Dallas Cowboys are hiring offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer as their new head coach. I'm officially out. It's over, yo. Some of y'all know that I grew up rooting for the Dallas Cowboys. I had no guidance. I had no one to tell me, don't do that. I had no one to tell me about Jerry Jones. I just sat in front of the TV on Sundays, and they had the triplets, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. They won Super Bowls, the first Super Bowl I can remember. They beat the Bills. They scored a bunch of points. They had commercials, merchandise. I fell right into that trap as a young boy that just liked football. And yeah, I'm out. I know I tell you guys, stay down till you come up with your teams. Like, stay down and stay loyal to your teams. I'm out. I'm really out because of Jerry Jones. This is a move for another yes man. This is another Jerry Jones hire. And Jerry Jones literally said he was doing all of the search for a head coach as a solo mission, not consulting the 33rd team, not consulting anyone else. Jerry Jones thinks that the Dallas Cowboys is some type of passion project, some type of profession for him, and he's made a deal with the devil. They're never going to win anything. They stay stuck on stupid. Now, what I heard through my different channels with Dallas Cowboys YouTubers and podcasters and people, my guy RJ Ochoa I've had on, who runs Blogging with the Boys, Jerry Jones likes what he sees out of Dan Campbell in Detroit. And former Cowboys tight end Jason Witten, I believe, is coaching high school football right now. And there's word that Brian Schottenheimer would consider adding him to his coaching staff as a tight ends coach. And Jerry has a vision for some time down the line, maybe literally next year after the Cowboys don't make the playoffs again and it's going to be a mess. He has a vision of Jason Witten being the head coach in Dallas like Dan Campbell is, and how there's a trend in the NFL. Aaron Glenn, former player, going back to New York. Jim Harbaugh, former player, going back to the Chargers. D'Amico Ryans, former player, going back to the Texans. I'm out. Because the Dallas Cowboys held up Mike McCarthy, who won double-digit games for them, who had to deal with Dak Prescott not being healthy, who had to deal with Jerry Jones trading away picks. I don't know how many times I've mentioned him trading away a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, where that's a spot where you could have drafted a running back, making a stupid trade for Jonathan Mingo, kicking the can down the road in free agency and saying we're going all in, but then signing no free agents. From what I understand with Mike McCarthy, his contract expired, but he wanted more money to have to deal with Jerry Jones or to be set free to find somewhere else where you don't have to deal with an owner like that, that wants to be on the radio, that wants to be on TV, that looks at the star on the helmet as himself. Jerry Jones looks in the mirror, he sees that Dallas Cowboys star logo. You will not see that star logo on me. 888-808-1019. I am through. Other breaking news that pertains more to the local area here. Well, I don't know if it's confirmed yet, but reunion. After interviewing for 3 head coaching jobs, yes, it is official. Robert Saleh is now officially returning to the 49ers as their defensive coordinator. Good for Rob. He made some good money over here. He had to go through some nightmares or whatnot, but he goes right back home to San Francisco, reuniting with Kyle Shanahan, and maybe he can get that defense right, and we'll see what the 49ers turn into. So congrats to Rob Saleh. That's the breaking news coming out of the NFL right now. As you know, these coaching spots are filled. You heard Pete Carroll to the Raiders, Liam Cohen to the Jaguars, obviously a couple days ago now, Aaron Glenn to the Jets, Ben Johnson to the Bears, Mike Vrabel to the Patriots. Cowboys stay stuck on stupid. I cannot wait till 2027. If you follow me on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram as Carlos, Carlos is sitting here laughing at me through the glass as a whole Giants fan, bro. You a whole Giants fan. Like, I follow you on Instagram. I see the pain and misery you go through September, no, August, September, October, November.
Bruh.
It's not good for anybody right now. And on top of that, we got to watch the Commanders play the Eagles, and one of them is going to the Super Bowl. 888-808-1019. Ed is in Marlboro, New York on the Fan. What's up, Ed?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm a 60-year Giant fan. I'm 9 years old. I watched him in Yankee Stadium.
Amazing.
And I think that what they did with Ernie Accorsi, he took whoever the best athlete was available at the time that he picked. And I think that's what the Giants need to do. I think this kid from Colorado that plays safety, I mean, plays a cornerback and plays wide receiver, I don't see any reason not to pick him in the first round.
Yeah, if he's there, you can't pass on him. Yeah, if he's there, you can't pass on him. If Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward go 1 and 2, you take him.
Yep.
But they have a bigger need at quarterback, and they've been to Colorado and scouted both these guys. So Shane and Daboll,
right, I know.
You know, they will pick one or the other, and I think it's just however, you know, the chips fall. Thanks for the call, Ed. Yeah, I know about the history of the Giants and the Yankees, and I know there's a ton of fans that, like, you know, it's been passed down through your family from, you know, watching the Giants play in Yankee Stadium and that crossover there. You know, nothing was passed down in my family, so I became a stupid Dallas Cowboys fan, and now I'm out because I have a little boy who, in 2027, we're going to pick his team. And like I was saying, if you follow me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all my social channels, at Keith McPherson, you will see the content that we put out in the 2027 season, where we're probably going to go to some different stadiums. We're going to try on some different teams for size. And when my son says, I like this team, this is the team that I want to be a fan of, I'm going to say, all right, let's ride. We're out. Because I picked my team around 4 or 5 years old. I'm going to let him pick his team around 4 or 5 years old. And I will join in with him because I love football. And I want to enjoy Sundays with my son. And I don't want to be sitting there with a Troy Aikman jersey on talking about, wow, here we go again. And
just don't let him pick the Jets, Keith.
I say, well, I don't know.
Whatever you do, don't let him pick the Jets.
What if Aaron Glenn turns this thing around in 3 years? Like, I would think not to let him be a Jets fan, but, like, they have some new life. Like, we live 20 minutes from MetLife Stadium. If his friends are saying, hey, like, the Jets are good,
when my dad picked the Jets because of Joe Namath, he was like, oh, man, this team's great. They got a lot of life. And it's been 50 years of misery.
Yeah, we're going to see. It's going to be fun. All right, 10 o'clock coming. Break coming. Update coming. 2 hours left. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.